Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is the garbage truck of free speech. That's right, because this is where we come and we trash talk free speech. We trash talk free speech so much that we need a whole garbage truck to take away all that trash talk. What do I mean by trash talking free speech? It's like, well, it's like going up to Tucker Carlson and calling him a big fag, because sometimes he's just a fag. Other times he's pretty cool. But you know, we have to be able to trash talk these people because. And so. Also, it's trash day, and I'm taking out the trash. And, you know, I just think of these things on the spur of the moment. Maybe once or twice I've planned something out, but usually when I start the sentence, I don't even know how I'm going to finish it. And I think it shows. So there's that. And there's also the totally awesome Co-Certified app, which is yours. It is yours for the taking. Go to Republic Broadcasting. No, you go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send badly needed fundage. But for the co-certified app, you go to nationalbugle.com, peruse the articles, but also download the app. And, you know, nationalbugle.com is the number one place to download that co-certified app. And there's a new ad coming out, so look forward to that. We're going to make it extra special. And these ads need to be extra special because you're going to hear them over and over and over again, which is a good thing because you really get the message. All right. So I'm walking my dogs in the rain, and that's the way it works sometimes. Maybe I'll get totally drenched. But you know that the Republic is gone, and the nation is dying. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news. It's on life support. We can get it back. But I just saw an article in Zero Hedge. And seeing as RBN is the garbage truck of free speech because of all the trash talking, I got to say that Zero Hedge isn't that great. In fact, it often totally sucks. But why does it totally suck? Well, it just runs Epoch Times articles. Epoch Times, yeah, they're okay on like Trump election fraud stuff. But the Epoch Times is run by a weird Chinese cult that is trying to regime change China and install some, you know, self-proclaimed Buddha on the throne. And Zero Hedge is going along with it, which means that there are some mental retards at Zero Hedge. Okay, it's just a fact. But sometimes there's also some interesting stuff. I saw something, they reprinted part of a Wall Street Times, is that what it's called? Wall Street Journal article. And of course, the Wall Street Journal is a pay site, and if you're in front of a computer and you know what you're doing, you can find ways of viewing the whole Wall Street Journal thing. Well, I didn't. I mean, the first couple of paragraphs was good enough. Here's the thing. The fake Biden administration is considering giving illegal aliens families that were separated. They were separated and traumatized. All they were trying to do is come into our country illegally and live off of welfare. And, well, I guess they got to do it, but parents and children who actually might not be related to each other, because who knows, but they were separated for a short period of time, and the trauma is so great that simply living in our country illegally off welfare isn't enough for them. And they need to be given $450,000 per person. So, you know, a family of four Yeah, just give them $2 million, right? Just round it up to $2 million. So this is, well, this is because the lawyers representing the families are pushing for, you know, millions of dollars. They say that they've been traumatized to the tune of millions of dollars. Now, that sounds pretty ridiculous, but remember, George Floyd's family got what? They got $27, $28 million because their drug addict felon who was resisting arrest after committing a crime while stoned off his gourd on fentanyl and methamphetamine, because he had a heart attack that the police were not able to prevent, hard as they tried to prevent that heart attack. They failed to prevent a heart attack on a felon who was high as a kite while committing crimes, and therefore the family that never saw him gets $27, $28 million. I mean, Farron says clown world. Yes. Is that a serious country? No, it's not a serious country. Is it a dying country on life support? Yes, it is. A country where that you've, I mean, honestly, you have got the ruling elite in this country, which is absolutely, totally at war, and I don't use that term lightly, with the population, or at least with the majority population, specifically the white people. Because who pays for this? You know, the $27, $28 million from the tax base of Minneapolis. Now, Minneapolis, what's the population of Minneapolis? I doubt it's a, I mean, because it's a city that pays, right? And I don't think Minneapolis even has a 500,000 people. It's probably, 400,000, maybe. It's less than a 500,000. Whatever. But for, let's just say, it's, well, let's just be generous and say it's 550,000. Okay, 550,000. How many times does 550,000 go into 27 million? Well, it goes in 50 times. And if you're, you could say, okay, well then the average family of four would be paying $200. Each family in Minneapolis would be paying $200 to George Floyd's family. Each family, $200. You got $200? But wait, there's more. Because remember, the ghetto blacks, for instance, aren't paying any of that because they're not paying the taxes. They're not paying real estate taxes. They're paying they're paying little if anything in income taxes. So really, if you're talking about the white middle class family, each one of them, maybe they got hit up for $400 or $500 each one. Okay, so that is that a serious country? Now, they're talking about giving, to a family of four, an illegal alien family of four, like almost $2 million. And they're saying that this program could cost, what, $1 or $2 billion? So you're talking about giving maybe 1,000 families, making them instant millionaires. Yeah, why not? Because there are lawyers who are suing the government. Now, I know I sound like a broken record, and I don't want to sound like a broken record. I know you've heard me say it 6 million times, but these are Jews. These are Jews behind this. And if the Jews don't want me to say it, then stop doing it. Okay? So I do get sick of saying all this stuff. But that's how it is. Why? So here's the thing. When you're looking at causation, right? Filbert and I were talking about the science yesterday, and how and epistemology and how we know things. If you're talking about the science and causation, You can have, like, under what conditions? Well, is something necessary? Is it sufficient? Those are the two things you look at. Is it necessary? Is it sufficient? So does, does a virus cause a disease? Well, is it necessary? Is it sufficient? Maybe to get smallpox, the smallpox virus is necessary. Is it sufficient? Probably not, because probably you've got your own immune system and there's other factors involved, and merely being exposed to the smallpox virus or coronavirus or whatever virus you want to talk about, it's not sufficient. You aren't necessarily going to come down with the disease just because you're exposed to it. But if you're not exposed to that particular pathogen, then you're not going to get it. So necessary, sufficient. How about with Clown World? Okay, Clown World, the death of our nation. It is the death of our nation. Are Jews necessary? Are they sufficient? Here's the thing. I would say that Jewish power is necessary for Clown World. All right? I don't think there's any way you would have gotten Clown World if you didn't have this hostile element in the elite that views the white majority as an existential threat because they're paranoid and because they think that a white Christian population, a population that is white and Christian, is sooner or later, for no reason, going to Holocaust them. And this is what they think. I'm sorry, this is what they think. At sooner or later, for no reason, because there's no reason ever to have any bad feelings towards Jews, that no reason they'll just get Holocausted, and therefore they have to destroy the white population as a cohesive entity. Right? So it's necessary. Is it sufficient? Is Jewish power sufficient for Clown World? No, it's not. It's not sufficient. They could not be doing this. You know, I mean, you might have, Rastafarians or Gypsies or Eskimos or whatever. Maybe they have the same bad ill will towards the white majority that Jews have. I don't know. But they can't do it by themselves. They can't do it at all. But why am I even talking about that? Jews couldn't be doing it by themselves. They can do this because they have enlisted the cooperation of different elements. They have, to a large extent, weaponized blacks, immigrants. Okay, now the immigrants, once they've been here, some of them Americanize, some of them don't. But enough of them don't that it still weaponizes the population. I mean, the thing is, let's just say, even if it's half and half, you're still diluting the. There's a lot of ways that immigrants, particularly non-white immigrants, even if they wind up being relatively Americanized and relatively assimilated, it still makes it difficult to organize white people on an ethnic basis. But of course, it goes beyond that. So the feminism and whatnot have turned a lot of, especially unmarried white women, against the patriarchy and homosexuality and all this. And then the white liberals who have been kind of indoctrinated into guilt. This is nothing new for you all. You all know this. So but the thing is, the organizing force behind this coalition of blacks and immigrants and women and the gays and the trannies, and the guilt-ridden brainwashed white liberals. The organizing mechanism here, the organizing force is Jewish. It is this Jewish power, and you know that's the thing. I don't like having to talk about this all the time, but it's a thing. And you see the clown work. And I don't know exactly the names of the lawyers who are involved in this suit to give $450,000. Well, I mean, the suit is calling for more than $450,000 each for each individual, not each person in the family. I mean, not for each family, but for each individual that was involved, that was damaged and traumatized. The thing is, these people should never have come in the first place. The only reason they come is because they're encouraged to come by the Jewish media, by Jewish organized groups like the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, and then other like Christian groups that have been frankly weaponized by Jews in order to welcome immigrants, in order to encourage immigrants to come here, migrants, illegally. And, you know, you see this, if you've ever heard of the, you know, like these interfaith coalitions, the interfaith coalitions always involve Jews. They always involve rabbis. And they'll bring in some Muslim, and then they get different Christian denominations. But again, the organizing principle behind these interfaith organizations is always Jewish. And the agendas they push are always the Jewish agenda. Yeah, I had to pause for a second because there's a little bit too much diversity in that car right there. But so there you go. So we've got a clown world, and the clown world really... the Republic is gone at this point. Now, having said that it's that Jewish power is necessary but not sufficient, the not sufficient part here is the key, because the not sufficient means that it is still possible for, because things are moving so fast and getting so crazy, it is still possible for various elements of this Jewish coalition that the Jews cobbled together, it's possible for parts of that to be peeled off so that the coalition is no longer viable and strong enough. And so it is possible to take back the society. But it has to be done. The only way that these elements are going to be peeled off... Well, actually, there's two ways they can be peeled off. One way is simply that things get so crazy. And that could happen even without us. But the thing is, if things go crazy and people really don't know why they're going crazy, then you don't know how they're going to act. And it's very possible this is why I spend so much time on that particular subject. It's very possible that things go really crazy and then a scapegoat is found. And right now that scapegoat would be China. That everything's going all crazy, but China's behind everything, and we wind up with World War III. Oh, would that be fun? I don't think so. I'll be back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future. Taters.
Welcome back to the show. Okay, I'm not walking around in the rain with my dogs anymore. I'm back home. But, so when I was walking around, you know, I was talking about the clown world, talking about this case, which apparently, you know, it's big news all over. I saw it on Zero Hedge, which had linked to the Wall Street Journal, came home, saw that Tucker led with it, and then it's also on Daily Stormer now. So you're probably all familiar with it now. But when I was talking, I jumped to the conclusion that it was a bunch of Jews behind it. And now I do see that it was the ACLU, and in particular, their lead immigrant rights attorney, one Lee Gelernt. All right. So, and I took a little bit of time. Is Lee Gelernt actually Jewish? And, you know, I saw an article about him on one Jewish website. Which one? Which website? The JewishPublicAffairs.org website. But it didn't specifically say he was Jewish. Then I go to the Congregation Rodolph Shalom, which is in New York City, established 1842. And it says Rodolph Shalom was again a proud participant in the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society's National Refugee Shabbat. Over the Shabbat of March 5th through 6th, 2021, the Jewish community will dedicate sacred time and space to stories and struggles of refugees and asylum seekers. This is a critical moment to give voice to our values as Jews and as Americans. Oh, really? Our special guest for this Shabbat was Lee Gallernt, a lawyer at the National Office of the American Civil Liberties Union. Lee currently holds the positions of Deputy Director of the ACLU's Immigrants Rights Protection Project. I'm sorry, Immigrants Rights Project, and Director of the Project's Access to the Court Program. He's also an adjunct professor at Columbia Law School. Okay, and then together with his family, Lee has been a member of Rodolph Shalom community since 2003. Okay, so I jumped to a conclusion. I said it was a bunch of Jews, when actually it was a bunch of Jews. So that's the thing. There you go. So, like I said, Tucker led with this, and he said it was the most, like, ridiculous, or what was the adjective he used, you know, that he said every day that he and his staff get up and they look through the news and they keep finding things that they just think can't possibly be true. But this takes the cake. And then he wound up having Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, on to, you know, talk about the situation at the border. And he asked Abbott, why is the elite doing this to us? You know, and of course, Abbott can't say a word about the Jews. Tucker can't say a word about the Jews. So it's just, well, it's they're promoting a socialist agenda. And that, you know, that was basically it. This is in order to promote socialism. And they can't say that there's a organized attack on the on white people, because Jews are paranoid and neurotic and feel that a white majority country with the potential of ethnic solidarity between the white Christians is a existential threat to Jews. But the thing is, the existential threat to Jews is Jews' own behavior. Because if they didn't behave like this, here the thing is, they do behave like this. They behave absolutely awfully. And yet, there's, where's the outcry? There's virtually no outcry. Okay, I'm hoping to be joined later in this segment by Dr. David Duke, but in the meantime, I want to talk a little bit about an event that has been it's been somewhat reported. I think you'll see it on the Daily Stormer, I think you'll see it on some of these other websites, about in New York City on the New York subway. There is a video that's emerged, and you see a hostile black man yelling at a white woman, tell me to chill, just tell me to chill, or take a chill pill or something like that. And she says, take a chill pill, and then he punches her in the face.
True. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. Ita, uji no hatte kara tobiri sa, sore yuke ichi tishi odoro yo.
Take a chill pill or something like that. And she says, take a chill pill. And then he punches her in the face. And then there is a white man standing nearby who says something but doesn't immediately attack the black man. There are black women who are filming it and kind of laughing. And what there is on Twitter are... like, there's some guy who's like a middle-aged man in a suit, according to his picture that he puts on the Twitter. How disgraceful it is that nobody stood up for that woman. And, you know, that they're all a bunch of cowards. Well, here's the thing. A, if you look at that, the video, the black man who looks to be about 30 and apparently was there with his children. Apparently he got on. He was very hostile when he got on. He was demanding everybody get out of his way or get out of his black way or something like that. And so, first of all, he was very large, all right? He looked like he was in good shape. He looked much taller than anyone else on the train. And so there's that. And also, you know, you had... at least the black women who are filming it seem to be enjoying what was going on. It's hard to tell what the demographics of that particular train car were. And if the train car had this large man and really nobody else who is in a position to stop him, except for maybe one smaller white man and a potentially hostile crowd. I mean, does the white man really want to get into it with this large black man? The other thing is, I'm not blaming the woman. She got punched in the face. But you have to have sense. And if, you know, you have to be aware of your surroundings. And if you've got a large, aggressive, potentially dangerous black man on the train with a lot of aggression, and you are a person who's not going to be able to do anything about it physically, right? Do you want, is it really your role to be escalating it, right? So the woman, apparently, maybe she thought that she had to put her foot down and somebody had to put this guy in his place, and she's saying, just take a chill pill. But she's not in a position to do anything about it. And so she escalated the situation. And then, is it really the fault of, like, I don't know if there's, besides the one white man who was standing next to it, let's just say, I mean, the guy, it's hard to tell from the angles, but the black man who punched looked like he might have been well over 6 feet. He might have been, like, you know, 6'4" or something. And he looked like he would probably be about 6 inches taller than the white man. Now, I would like to think that I would just, you know, punch the guy in the face and choke him out and like that. But, you know, if you're trying to choke somebody out and then you get, like, a bunch of other blacks on the train who might not have been women, there might have been, it was hard to see who was on the train, and they're kicking you in the face while you're trying to choke somebody out, that's not going to end well. So the response, like, okay, so it's not as if I'm saying nobody should intervene with an aggressive black man. But if you're on Twitter, and this is the thing, if you're on Twitter and you weren't there and you're trying to shame, and what you're doing is, the whole spin on this is that everybody else on the train should be shamed. They should be ashamed of themselves. There's not even all that much. It's not even like there's a, like, what's up with these black men who think they can do anything, right? They're not talking about high rates of crime and aggression and violence among black men. They're not talking about that. They're saying it's, you know, that somebody should have come to the defense of this woman who took it upon herself to be confrontational with the guy. And my point is, if you're going to try to shame anybody, it shouldn't be those, all the people on the train who were who thought better of getting involved in something that might have been basically a suicide mission, because you also don't know what kind of weapons the guy has. He's obviously unhinged. The shame should be on everybody who has enabled and encouraged this bad black behavior. Every person in the suburbs who's got a sign on a lawn sign saying Black Lives Matter, or who has posted Black Lives Matter, or voiced sympathy for George Floyd or whatever, all of those people have more to be ashamed of than the man standing next to this woman on the train, okay? Everybody who's gone along with this whole hoax of racial injustice has more to be ashamed of than the guy on the train. And I bet if you, I don't know who this guy was, like, if you look at maybe the Daily Stormer, maybe it was, that's where I saw it, I'm not sure. But, you know, it was like outrage as black attacks white woman on train, something like that. The outrage is at the fellow passengers. It's not, like, the outrage isn't at bad black behavior. The outrage is at whites who are unwilling to perhaps, like, risk their lives over a white woman. She got punched in the face. It was something that nobody could have expected. Well, actually, it could have been expected. But once she was punched in the face, you can't unpunch her. And so what's the point? I don't know. I mean, I would, like, I looked at that and my blood boiled, and I'd like to think that, yeah, I just knocked the guy out with one punch. But let's get real. You know, who knows what's going to happen? And, like, I had a situation not too long ago where, actually, like, a couple of whites, I was walking through a parking lot, and a couple of whites who were maybe, you know, 40s or 50s, said that they had run out of gas, and could they have some money for gas? And I thought they were scroungy, and their bar is nearby, so I just ignored them. And then I saw them walk over to a gas station, and I thought, okay, well, maybe, you know, maybe there's something to it. So if they're out of gas and they're at a gas station, and I, you know, I could put a few dollars of gas in their car. So I pull into the gas station, and I say to them, okay, well, where's your car? And they said, it's like, you know, it's 20 miles away from here. I'm like, well, you didn't walk here. And then they start telling me some convoluted story. So white people do stupid things, will do things too. But I did something stupid by going back over there, right? That actually was stupid. And, you know, sometimes you think you might be helping somebody. But, you know, honestly, the white woman, she shouldn't have escalated the situation, not because, you know, the black man has the right to go through there and be rude, but you have to think about, you know, what's going to be the outcomes. I mean, the thing to do if the black man's being aggressive like that, well, you call the police. Now, the police can't do anything, but that's the situation we live in. To make a situation where where other people have to come to your defense, and maybe the black guy's got a gun or whatever, he's the biggest guy on the train, maybe there's only one person, one able-bodied male on the train, you are enlisting him to that fight. You see, it's the whole thing is a bad situation, and the fact of the matter is we are under attack, and we are under attack from so many ways. So you have the weaponization of blacks. You know, the whole Black Lives Matter things. Blacks have been incentivized to act aggressively. They get rewarded. You know, George Floyd has a heart attack, and the police aren't able to prevent the heart attack, and then his family gets $27 million at mainly white taxpayer expense, right? You've got all that, and then the whole critical race theory stuff. And, of course, you know, who should be dealing with this? It should be the Justice Department, right? And who's the Attorney General? Some Jew, right? It's Merrick Garland. Who was the Attorney General before that? It was some half-Jew, right? Barr was half-Jewish. And then, of course, before that, you did have Sessions, and things weren't as off the rails with Sessions, but also, you know, his deputy was some Jew, Rod Rosenstein. We're being attacked from so many directions. So we're being attacked from the direction of, the corona apocalypse, right? And you get, look at the pharma companies. You can look at a lot of the people involved in that. It's largely a Jewish attack. What about immigration? And who's in charge of defending our borders? It's a Homeland Security Secretary, who's some Cuban Jew, Alejandro Mayorkas. And then, of course, you got Janet Yellen at Treasury. And what are they trying to do at Treasury? They are trying to gain access to all our banking records, all of our transactions. And what's the point of that? You know, the point, it could be to see who's donating money to naughty causes. I mean, I don't want to discourage people from donating money to naughty causes, but, you know, from every direction. And it's everywhere you look. I'm sorry, you see large numbers of Jews. And I hate having to say this 6 million times, but that's what it is. So there is this all out attack on our people, and okay. So next thing, we've been having a ramping up of the whole Taiwan-China thing, and that's Tony Blinken. So Tony Blinken, and who is he? Oh yeah, he's one of those Jews in the Biden administration, the fake Biden administration, and. He was being interviewed, and he lamented that Taiwan was not a member of the United Nations. Now, here's the thing. The government in Taipei, and to be clear, the government in Taipei had a seat in the United Nations for 25 years. They're considered a... So they had a seat. In fact, they had a seat on the UN Security Council for 25 years. The government in Taipei had a seat on the UN Security Council. They were one of the five permanent, not just a seat, a permanent seat. They were one of the five permanent authorities on the UN Security Council, along with the Soviet Union, United States, England, and France. It was the government in Taipei. And, of course, the name of the government in Taipei is the Republic of China. It still is. So they had the Chinese seat. The government in Taipei was in control of the Chinese seat in the UN, including on the permanent seat on the UN Security Council, with a veto power. They were there for 25 years because they were considered the government of China, okay? So that's the whole thing, that the government in Taipei is the government of the Republic of China. They've never declared independence. So you've got all of this ramp up of hostility to defend Taiwanese independence that has never, ever been declared. I know I sound like a broken record here, but it's clear now that you've got probably a very small number, but you've got U.S. troops there. What they're doing there, I mean, do they really need to train? Do the brave men, women, and trannies of the American military really need to be over there to train the Taiwanese? We say Taiwanese, the Chinese people who live on Taiwan, right? Now, here's something else. So you've got the president of China. What is her the president of the Republic of China, the president of the government in Taipei. What's her family name? Was it Chen? I think it's Chen. I can't remember. Chen Ing-wen. Well, Ing-wen, the funny thing about Ing-wen is that actually it's written like English, or, you know, English literature, English writing. That's how it's the Ing is for England and the Wen is for writing. So that's literally her name is like English writing. Very odd. Shock. Big surprise. Nobody could have predicted this. She is unmarried and childless, right? So she does have cats. She's a cat lady. So we've got this. Unfortunately, the government in Taipei is led by a childless cat lady, childless menopausal cat lady, and who has, you know, no stake in the future. Is this a surprise? Here's something else, and I didn't know this, but apparently she is one quarter not ethnic Chinese. She is one quarter something else. Welcome back to the show.
Argument about that. You know, the media keeps telling us that the VAERS system and their environment, the CDC, has a system to report vaccine safety surveillance, and it's called the VAERS system. And VAERS was created in 1990 by the CDC and the FDA as a means to collect and analyze adverse effects associated with vaccines. Now, what's gone on now is that we know this system is completely broken. And, of course, that's in the interest of the vaccine companies, and especially in something like COVID, where they're posed to make many, many billions, countless billions of dollars, and get people on this treadmill of vaccines forever. In regard to this virus, this flu. And by the way, as I talked about earlier on my show on DavidDuke.com and on the Ritz Radio Network, I talked about the fact that this is always called the flu. In fact, we identified coronaviruses, many of them, just like there are for colds, and they talked about flu symptoms as being flu. And they always knew that that was 10-15%. This is no more deadly than any other bad flu year. It's normal. And the fact is that the CDC itself says the VAERS system is subject to multiple, quote, limitations. This is a quote from their paper, including underreporting. And it's and because of the limitations, determining causal relations or associations between vaccines and events from VAERS is usually not possible. Right? Well, there was a major study that the CDC, actually the National Health Service, in connection with the CDC and other national health institutes and so forth, they actually did a study how to make the VAERS system work better, to empower it. They gave $1 million to this study at Harvard University, which is called the Pilgrim Health Study. And these are Harvard-educated people. And they found out that the truth about VAERS is that most doctors don't even know they have to report adverse effects of vaccines They don't know that that's even supposed to be mandatory. It takes a long process. And institutions don't want their doctors doing that because they only even want doctors to spend 10 minutes with a patient. And the study they did actually followed 700,000 people that got vaccines. And it started to handle those individual people in these systems that they could monitor. And it showed that there were, of the 715,000 patients, these 376,000 were given like 1.4 million doses of 45 different vaccines. And they found a total of 35,570 possible adverse reactions.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Possible adverse reactions. Now, if you understand what that means, if you just reflect on it, what it means is out of 376 individuals, 76,000 individuals that received the vaccine at this Harvard practice, the new automated system identified 35,000 possible adverse reactions to these in this three-year period. Now, how does that stack up to the number of adverse effects reported to VAERS? Well, according to the CDC, only 30,000 adverse events are reported every year for the entire United States population of many, many for hundreds of different vaccines, by the way. So it shows, and by this estimate, and here's a direct finding of the report from Harvard, adverse events from drugs and vaccines are common but underreported. Likewise, fewer than 1% of vaccine adverse events are reported. Low reporting rates preclude or slow the identification of problem drugs and vaccines that endanger public health. New surveillance methods for drug and vaccine adverse effects are needed. And then I have a report from actually 2019, the year of COVID-19, of course, and 20. But I have a report from the New York Times saying how the entire reporting system is broken. And the way that they created these vaccine reporting systems, or the way they did the tests of it, was very limited, where they took out patients that are more likely to die. And they came up with this figures like it's going to really protect you from the virus and all this other stuff and affect you from deaths. And the evidence is mounting that it doesn't at all. In fact, this disease has caused more deaths, more serious hospitalization, serious cases and damage than all the other.
Okay, you said this disease. You meant this vaccine has caused more deaths.
Well, yes, this disease in relationship to the vaccine. That the vaccine has caused more damage. And when I was referring to the disease, I was referring to the vaccine for the disease. This vaccination that's gone on with the COVID-19 vaccines have caused more deaths, more serious hospitalizations than all the other. And this is only eight months of the data we've got, 8 or 9 months of the data. More deaths than all other of the hundreds and hundreds of billions of vaccines given in the last 30 years. That's more than the entire total of all vaccines. This is the most deadly vaccine in the history of medicine. This is the most damaging vaccine to people. And now they're getting it to, my God, they want to give it to children 5 years of age to 15, as well as other children. And we've already had kids in the 15 to 17 bracket that have had terrible blood clots, have had deaths, they've had unbelievable damage. And even the CDC own figures shows that myocarditis, which is only one of the problems, which is damage to the heart. And myocarditis is considered a lethal disease, that it's going to shorten life.
Right.
It's going to cause death eventually. And because the heart tissue can't regenerate.
Well,
this is an incredible, and this has been hidden from the public, and it's not talked about by any of the major media or any of these farmers that are profiting from it.
Well, I'm sorry that I didn't get through to you earlier. Hopefully you can come back on the show maybe next week and explain more about this.
I'd love to do that, because this is a major factor. And very few doctors, even some people are talking about how these figures of deaths are inflated and all these other things about how the mandates don't work, which they don't, how that the vaccine is now, most of the people dying and hospitalized are people who are vaccinated right now. We can talk about that. They talk about that. But very few people talk about the incredible damage that this vaccine is doing to countless millions of people.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Duke, and I will be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Google Radio.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.